And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can partner with us there. You can reach out to us if you want to volunteer. Of course, you can click the big blue donate button and donate there as well. As you know, we are fully funded through the individuals like you, churches, businesses. No state money, no federal money, no tax money, no insurance money. We are fully funded through the partnership of amazing people like yourself, and we are grateful for that. Today we have a lot to talk about. There's been some good news. I feel like every week I get on here and we talk about life issues, and we talk about abortion, and we talk about some legislation. And at times it can seem overwhelming. At times it can seem like there's not a lot of winds happening, that we're climbing up this giant mountain, and when are we ever going to get to the top? Well, today I have some amazing news for you concerning life and abortion, as a new survey, a new research study has come out, and I think once we dig into some of those numbers, hopefully it gives you some hope and some appreciation of the work that's being done. We're also going to look at what Planned Parenthood is doing in Illinois, and which I think is important for us to note, and it's a telltale sign of that we're winning and that we're getting to the top of that mountain. But we're going to start with a new report from the Guttmacher folks. They show it shows pro-life progress continues as U.S. abortion rates decline. So Michael New, who wrote about this, which I'm going to do my best to get him on the show soon, and because I think he has a lot to offer in doing great work in the pro-life movement. So Michael New wrote this. I'm going to walk through what he wrote, and then we'll discuss it further. So on Tuesday, the Guttmacher Institute released a report which included updated abortion data from the year 2017. The new Guttmacher data provides further evidence that America's abortion rate continues its steady decline. That's good news. Between 2011 and 2017, the U.S. abortion rate fell by approximately 20%. That's amazing. The long-term decline is even more impressive. Since peaking in 1980, the U.S. abortion rate, listen to this, since peaking in 1980, the U.S. abortion rate has fallen by over 53% and is now lower than what it was in 1973, the year of the Roe v. Wade decision. Furthermore, the decline is fairly widespread. Between 2011 and 2017, the Guttmacher Institute report indicates that the abortion rate fell in 45 of the 50 U.S. states. That is amazing news. In their report, Guttmacher acknowledges that increased health and safety standards for abortion facilities are correlated with abortion rate declines in some states. However, they take considerable pains to argue that other pro-life policies have had little to do with the overall decline. And as you know, or maybe you don't know, Guttmacher Institute is not a pro-life organization. That's why these numbers are important. In particular, they argue that pro-life laws, shifts in public opinion, and reductions in sexual activity have only had a marginal impact on the U.S. abortion rate. Unsurprisingly, many mainstream media outlets have uncritically parroted Guttmacher's spin. That said, the main problem with their analysis is they only consider data between 2011 and 2017, a relatively short period of time. When one considers the fact that the U.S. abortion rate is less than half of what it was in 1980, it is evident that the efforts of pro-lifers are having a significant impact. That's for you. Did you hear that? Listen to that last sentence. U.S. abortion rate is less than half of what it was in 1980, and that is evident, or that's evidence that the efforts of pro-lifers are having a significant impact. And Michael New goes further. When I give talks to pro-life audiences, I remind that there has been a durable long-term increase in the percentage of unintended pregnancies that are carried to term since the early 80s. This fact reveals the success that the pro-life movement has had in working to shift public opinion to better assist pregnant women and their families and to pass protective laws. Indeed, since the mid-90s, Gallup surveys show a significant increase in the percentage of individuals identifying as pro-life. Data from the General Social Survey show increasing opposition to abortion among young adults. Heartbeat International's data shows that number of organizations offering assistance to pregnant women, listen to this, increased by 86% between 1988 and 2015. Did you hear that? So Between 1988 and 2015, we have seen an increase in pregnancy centers by 86%. During that same time, don't miss this, during that same time, we saw the abortion rate decrease by 53%. So don't let anyone tell you that our work is not working, is not making a difference, is not having an impact in our cities across this country. Furthermore, a body of academic research shows a range of pro-life laws, including limiting public funding of abortion and abortion businesses. Parental involvement laws and properly designed informed consent laws to ensure mothers have all the information they need, all lower abortion rates. With state legislatures nationwide enacting increasingly stronger protection for mothers and babies, many are anticipating that the U.S. Supreme Court may soon rule on an abortion case and could even sue restore legal protection of millions of unborn children. That said, it is impossible to say which cases the Supreme Court will decide to hear and how they will decide any given case. That is why the long-term decline in the U.S. abortion rate is important. The growing pro-life American majority has had a strong record of progress during the past 40 years, and regardless of how the U.S. Supreme Court rules on any future case, we have plenty of reasons to stay the course. Listen to that. I mean, I was reading that the other day, and it just floored me as I had an opportunity to see the amazing work that's happening in the pregnancy center movement. And it's remarkable. If you look back at the numbers, we had high abortion rates after 1973 on into the 80s, even some in the 90s at 1.3, 1.4 million abortions every single year. And then you fast forward to now, and we're somewhere between 600 and 700,000 abortions a year. That number is still staggering. I mean, that number still should rock us, it should keep us up at night, it should concern us greatly. But that number, let's just do the math. That's 700,000 abortions a year. That's 1,900 abortions a day. So that number is still concerning. But it would be a mistake for us not to celebrate that since the 80s, we have seen a 53% decrease in abortion. That's huge. And the thing I want you to take away from this is during that, just like I said earlier, during that same period of time. So people are saying, well, why do you think there's a decrease in abortion? Some people would argue birth control. Some people would argue, well, there's Plan B. Some people would argue, well, there's less sexual activity, which I think surprises some folks, but a generation today cares more about being on their phone. They're not as excited about driving a car, getting their driver's license. So there's not as many opportunities for sexual activity. And so there is less sex happening in this generation. There's less people having kids. There's less people getting married. And so as we look at that, those are certainly factors in this. But you would be willfully dishonest if you argue that the pregnancy center movement hasn't had an impact on these numbers declining. You can't tell me that since the 80s, we've seen a 53% decrease in abortion. And during that same period of time, 86% increase in pregnancy centers opening their doors. You cannot tell me those numbers aren't connected. We saw it firsthand here in Knoxville when we opened across from an abortion clinic, and guess what? They closed their doors because our model works and because it's making a difference. People are choosing life. You look back and you think about, okay, with the amount of unplanned pregnancies, the amount of how many people were choosing life back in the day, it was between 55 and 60% were choosing abortion with an unplanned pregnancy. Now that number is closer to 40% that are facing an unplanned pregnancy choose abortion. So more people are choosing life. You look at surveys and you look at studies and you look at polls, and what do we see? We see that more and more people are now labeling themselves as pro-life. At the very least, more and more people are labeling themselves and saying, I am not for third trimester abortions. They're for some restrictions on abortions. You look at polls, and the vast majority of the populace says we're not for partial birth abortion. The vast majority of the populace says if a baby survives a botched abortion, that baby deserves rights under our Constitution. Folks, the tide is turning. You know, I wasn't on this planet in 1973. But I think about when that news came down. I think about the people across this country when the Supreme Court made that ruling, the people across this country that believe life is precious, that believe every life is created in the image of God, that believes that life inside the womb is in fact a life and not a blob of tissue. I think about what went through their mind as they watched abortion clinics open up, as they watched abortion become the norm, as they watched 1.3, 1.4 million abortions in 1 year. It would have been easy to throw in the towel. It would have been easy to say, there is nothing left for us to do. It is over. We have lost. Let's go home. It would have been easy for them to say, let's disengage. Let's live in our bubbles. And God help the rest of our society. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. I met with some folks just a few weeks ago, and I was talking to her about, well, what happened in 1973? And she said, we just got together, mostly Christians just getting together. We didn't know anything about pregnancy centers. That wasn't even a term. We just said something has to happen. And we've gone from that. And since that time, 86% increase in opening up of pregnancy centers. And now somewhere close to 3,000 pregnancy centers in this country. It's working. It's working. This should get us fired up. Now there's still a lot of work to do. But man, if this doesn't kind of give you a second wind, if this doesn't make you go, whoa, well, like, partnering with pregnancy centers, like, it's actually making a difference. And you can't look at those numbers and say otherwise. Guess what else is helping? Legislation. Abortion clinics closing. The abortion giant Planned Parenthood is just in shambles. They don't know what to do. They fired their latest president because she wasn't pro-abortion enough. She wasn't political enough. How dare her? She was wanting to focus on women's health. She was wanting to make make their tent larger. No, that's not enough. And so they're on their heels. Why? Because these numbers, they're seeing the same numbers. They can try to spin it all they want to spin it. But if you go from 1.3 million abortions in a year, and you decrease that in half, think about how much money they're losing. That's a big drop. And when we come back, I'll talk to you more about how they're on their heels and what they're doing in Illinois. And I think it's going to open your eyes and give you hope for what's to come. We'll talk more when we come back.
Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
So as we continue the conversation, I do want you to focus on the numbers that we talked about in that first segment. Those are really big numbers. And the fact that since the 80s, we've decreased abortion. We've seen a decline in abortion by 53%. And in that same period of time, we've seen the increase of pregnancy centers opening by 86% is a cause for celebration. And it is. It is something that we do not and should not take for granted. And the news story that I'm going to read you right now over at NPR about a new Planned Parenthood facility is interesting because some people, and they were recently on the CBS Morning News, and of course they were celebrating it. Here's the thing. Like, I don't want to sound like the guy that's like the the mainstream media don't like us and all that. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but here's the reality. You can't watch it and not come to that conclusion. Like, there are pregnancy centers opening beautiful buildings across this country. CBS News, Morning News, are not reaching out and interviewing those folks and giving them a 5-minute free advertising. They're not doing it. But Planned Parenthood secretly, hear this, secretly builds a building right at the border of Illinois and Missouri. They secretly build this building because Missouri has created such an atmosphere in that state where it's really hard for abortion clinics to operate. You know, because we want them to be licensed and stuff. Yeah, so they don't want to jump through the hoops, the necessary hoops to make sure they're licensed and they're taking care of their patients. So Missouri said, well, if you can't meet those standards, then get out. Close up. So as an answer to that, they went just right across the border, the state border, and they're opening up a giant facility they've been building in secret. So no one knew that this was going to be an abortion clinic. Now, why do you think they did it in secret? They did it in secret because the pendulum is swinging. The tide is turning. Abortion is declining. They see the writing on the wall. And so listen to this article over from NPR. Planned Parenthood of St. Louis region in southwest Missouri announced the new 18,000 square foot clinic. 18,000 square foot clinic will open in Fairview Heights, Illinois. The facility would be located about 15 miles from Missouri, a state with some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. The new clinic is set to open in mid-October. It will replace the existing smaller Fairview Heights facility, which served 5,000 patients last year. Planned Parenthood announced it will continue to provide medication, abortion, and a full range of family planning services, including birth control and annual exams, cancer screenings, STI testing, and HIV prevention, including PrEP. The new facility will also provide access to surgical abortions in addition to the services previously listed. Planned Parenthood's announcement indicated it is opening the new facility about 15 miles from Missouri border because of restrictions on abortion in Missouri. While we continue to fight to maintain access in Missouri, we are excited to expand our abortion services in Illinois. Listen to that sentence. You know, I'm oftentimes called anti-abortion, and guess what? Yeah, you got me. I'm anti-abortion. I think it's an atrocity. I think it's taking lives. I think it's ending innocent lives. I think it is ending the lives of the women that are being coerced and pushed into abortion. It's ruining families. So yeah, I'm anti-abortion for every reason at any time. But the thing that gets me is that CBS News, even when they were doing their story on it, they called us anti-abortion people. But then they'll follow that up with, but nobody's pro-abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion. But here you have an 18,000 square foot facility being built. I mean, this takes abortion mill to a whole nother level. And then what's the first sentence? What's the first statement from the doctor at Planned Parenthood? What is the first statement? So hear this. You have people that say no one is pro-abortion. Planned Parenthood is about women's health. Planned Parenthood is about women's rights. Planned Parenthood is about women's health services. That's it. The first quote from Planned Parenthood on this story. Listen to this. While we continue the fight to maintain access in Missouri, we are excited to expand our abortion services in Illinois. Now, I thought abortion was just 3% of what they did. So if abortion is 3% of what you do, why is the first thing you say that we want to expand abortion services in Illinois? Why not? We want to expand STD testing. We want to expand well woman care. We want to expand HIV prevention. We want to expand education. No, the first thing they say is we want to expand abortion. Now, why is that? Because the bottom line matters. They make billions of dollars. 332,000 abortions last year. Do the math. About 500, 600 on average a piece for those abortions. They're making a lot of money. And that's the first thing they say. And then the doctor goes further. The new health center is a testament to the needs of the greater Bi-State region and our commitment to provide, protect, and expand access to health care no matter what. And then they go further. They go, and then this is NPR, this is what gets me. They quote Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director. Now, Mary Kate Knorr is the executive director of Illinois Right to Life. Now, that's all they could have said. You know, when they quoted the doctor from Planned Parenthood, they didn't say Dr. Colleen McNichols of the pro-abortion organization Planned Parenthood. They didn't say that. They said Dr. Colleen McNichols of Planned Parenthood. But listen to how they describe Mary Kate Knorr. The article says Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director of anti-abortion rights group Illinois Right to Life. Now, why is that? Why couldn't they say Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director of Illinois Right to Life? Or Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director of the pro-life group Illinois Right to Life? So don't tell me there's not a bias here. And so that's why today we're hopeful. Because even amongst all this bias and even amongst all the free advertising the abortion industry is getting on cable news and on mainstream news outlets, even with all of that, abortion clinics are closing at a very high rate. Pregnancy centers are opening at a very high rate. Even with all of that, abortion numbers have declined since the 80s by 53%. That's a big deal. And so Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director of Illinois Right to Life, said, "The new clinic is a strategic business move." She goes further, "Make no mistake, the new mega facility is not a response to an increased demand, nor is it a gesture of care for women. The facility was created to fill the gaping hole they're seeing in their bottom line," and that is an absolute fact. Earlier this year, NPR goes further, "Missouri officials refused to renew the license of the state's last remaining abortion provider. Planned Parenthood fought the move and was granted a stay, but the clinic's future remains undecided. And in August, a federal judge temporarily blocked a measure in which Missouri lawmakers attempted to ban providing abortions after 8 weeks of pregnancy, making it punishable by jail time. In contrast to Missouri, Illinois passed the Reproductive Health Act, which provides individuals a fundamental right to make autonomous decisions about one's own reproductive health." And see, here's the thing that gets me too. And I've talked about the Reproductive Health Act that was passed in Illinois. It goes further than that. It goes further than saying fundamental rights to make autonomous decisions about one's own reproductive health. You know what the Reproductive Health Act also says? It also says that a fetus in the womb has no rights. That a fetus in the womb is not a human. Think about how crazy we've gone. When we actually are writing legislation that says that a human growing inside of a mom is not a human and has no rights in the state of Illinois. Think about that. When all we have to do is look around at humanity, everybody you come in contact with today started inside of a womb. Are they less human or more human today than they were in the womb? Of course not. We're making a difference. We'll be back. So as we continue the conversation today, I wanted to point out the building of the new facility in Illinois, because I think it does point to the impact that we're having. I mean, Planned Parenthood has become the face, the brand for abortion. They only provide a third of the abortions every single year, but certainly the most out of everyone, out of one organization. And if you look at their annual report every year, you'll see that all their other services are declining. And they're trying to ramp up abortion. Why? Because that's their moneymaker. And what you're seeing in the pregnancy center movement is more and more pregnancy centers are starting to offer other services. So our goal at Hope is to offer everything Planned Parenthood offers that doesn't offend God. That's why we added Well Woman exams for for annual patients. That's why what we're seeing is more and more folks coming to us instead of the abortion clinic for their well woman care. The reason why they have to secretly open up a building right at the border of Missouri is because they knew they would get backlash. And when they get upset that you call them an abortion mill, they built an 18,000 square foot facility, expecting 11,000 patients. So don't tell me that it's not an abortion mill. What would you call it? I mean, what are we saying there? I mean, even this past week, there was a congresswoman doing a town hall. And while they were there, and it's AOC, you may be familiar with her. She's from New York. She's doing a town hall. Somebody stands up and talks about the Green New Deal, talks about climate change. And you know, the big push now is not just, hey, we need to make some changes and recycle and do things the right way, but we also need to stop having babies. There's a big movement, a big push from people to say, I'm not going to have babies until we get the climate under control. Well, guess what, folks? We're not going to get the climate under control. Like, America could be wiped off the face of the planet tomorrow, and it wouldn't change a degree for the world. That's first. Second, you have folks openly calling for population control. You have Senator Sanders, who just a few weeks ago said that we need to look at providing funds, not just in this country, but around the world, so people have access to abortion because we need to control the population. He went as far as saying we need to focus those funds in poor areas. That sounds a little interesting. So poor people can't have kids, and we need to force them to have abortions. They're pushing for forced sterilizations in our prisons. But AOC is at a town hall, and somebody stands up and goes off about the Green New Deal, and we need to do everything we can, and we just have a few months before it's all over. And she goes as far as saying, we need to eat babies. She said that. Her shirt said that. Save plants, eat babies, something like that. Now, some people are looking at that and going, okay, there's a really good chance. I've watched the video. There's a really good chance this person standing up and saying that is either A, trolling, and just trying to make a weird point and wanting to get attention, or B, there's a mental illness there, or C, she really means what she says, that we need to eat babies. Now, everyone, I would hope, would agree we shouldn't eat babies. That's crazy talk. So what I would want a congressman or congresswoman to do, regardless if they have an R or a D beside their name, if someone stands up at your town hall and claims that the world is going to end in a few months and to stop that from happening, we need to eat babies, here's what needs to happen from that congressman. That congressman needs to interrupt that person and say, look, there's never a reason to eat babies. So thank you for your comments, but we're going to move on. Now, in doing that, that wouldn't have hurt her wokeness. That wouldn't have hurt her credibility on the street. That's just saying what all of us believe, that no one should eat babies. But you know what the congresswoman did? She did nothing. She let this person speak. And then after she finished speaking and saying multiple times we should eat babies, she said, thank you for your comments, and we do need to do everything we can to cut back climate change and cut back our emissions. And she just acted like the person never said we should eat babies. Now that's where we are as a society. That's where we are as a culture. Because we turn this into an issue. An issue that isn't directly impacting our neighbors. Think about that. How else can you explain not interrupting and saying, ma'am, we don't eat babies. These are our neighbors. That's insane. And maybe if you say it again, you're going to be escorted out of this room. But they couldn't even bring themselves to say that because there's a part of them going, well, we do need population control. Now, maybe we don't need to go as far as eating babies, but we got to figure out how somehow to how to control this population growth. So it's things like that. When I hear people say no one is pro-abortion, and I would agree, there's not. It's not like there's young girls walking around going, man, I can't wait to one day have an abortion. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the lobbying organization. The abortion industry. Their focus. And I have no other way to say this. What is a successful abortion? A successful abortion is a practice that ends a life. A unique individual life that has never been created before will never be created again. When we have botched abortions, why are they called botched abortions? Because the baby survived. And if it's a blob of tissues, then how's it survive? If it's a life, it can survive. But if it's just a blob, then what's surviving? And so when I'm called anti-abortion, well, let's look at that term. What's that mean? That means I'm against ending the lives of babies in the womb. So you could describe me that way. If they ever did a report on me, they could say, Andrew Wood, the guy that's against ending life in the womb and director of Hope Resource Center, that would be a fair explanation, fair description. All I'm saying is you should describe the other side the same way. Maybe you don't want to use the pro-abortion language, but you could at least say the doctor, Dr. So-and-so, the person that wants to end life inside the womb of Planned Parenthood. Like all anti-abortion means is I'm against ending the lives of babies in the womb. Guilty as charged. How dare I? I'm such an awful person. Think about that. Think about this week. If somebody was just transplanted right here in this country, they somehow grew up not having connection to anything, not knowing what's going on, completely by themselves, secluded, and they show up in this country. And then somebody explains to them abortion and they go, well, what's abortion? Okay. You say that person is anti-abortion. You say that person is pro-abortion. Describe that to me. And you go, well, see, abortion is a practice where either poison or tools are used to end the life of a growing human inside of a womb. You know, we actually had a court case back in 1973 and made it a right in this country. The greatest country this planet has ever seen. We made it a right in this country for individuals to take the lives of other individuals as long as that life was growing inside of them. And then a follow-up question may be, well, oh, so that thing growing inside, that's not a different individual. That's just like a parasite. And then the response would be, no, it's a life. It's got its own organs, its own blood type, its own hair color, its own dreams, all of those things. It's an actual life. And then he would go, well, how do you describe the folks that are anti-abortion? Well, those people are just against ending that life, that individual human life. What do you think the response would be? You see, when we turn this into just an issue, it's easy to say we need more abortions because it's just an issue. Women's rights, reproductive rights, it's just an issue. But when we break it down and go, there's an individual human life growing inside of the womb, the same place we all grew. And abortion takes that life away. That changes things. We'll be back. So as we finish up today, please, 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 please. You know, I don't often say, hey, share this show, let other people hear it. I guess I should, but that makes me uncomfortable at times. Y'all should listen. But share this one. If you have some pro-life friends that seem kind of down in the dumps and like, oh, we're just never going to achieve what we want to achieve. We're never going to get up that mountain. It's just going to all be for nothing when it's all said and done. If you have folks that believe that, share today's show with them. Because what I hope I pointed out was the work of pregnancy centers, the work of the pro-life movement, in all aspects, from a legislative standpoint to a service arm standpoint in the pregnancy center world, we're making a difference. Let's go through those numbers again. Since the 80s, abortion has declined by 53% in this country. During that same period of time, we've seen an 86% increase in pregnancy centers opening their doors. That's amazing. Those numbers are connected because of the work that's being done in places like Hope Resource Center across this country. So hopefully that's going to give us some wind in our sails to say, even now, even more now, we can't let off the gas pedal. We have to keep it up. Abortion clinics are closing. Pregnancy centers are opening. Women are seeking care from folks that really love them, that really love their baby. I spoke to a class just last week of 20 girls, looking at all of them and saying, y'all can do this. You can have your dreams and your baby. You don't have to pick one over the other. Sure, some of them are in very difficult circumstances. But what an opportunity. And shame on us to neglect the fact that we once were in the womb. When I've spoken at a lot of chapels here as of late, and when I speak to the elementary chapel, my first question to them is, how many of you in here used to be a baby? How many of you in here used to be inside your mama's belly? Now, why do I ask that? And of course, all of them raise their hands. Because something happens to us. We grow up, we read books, and we do all these things, and we get involved in different things, and all of a sudden it's like half of our population has forgotten where we came from. And I'm not even saying forgotten where you like grew up. I'm saying forgotten actually where you came from. Even if you don't believe in God, even if you believe that God is not the creator of the universe, And that I worship some kind of spaghetti monster in the sky. If that is what you believe, that doesn't change the fact that you started the same place I started, inside of a womb. Growing. Our heartbeat didn't start when we were delivered at the hospital. Our blood type didn't just happen when we were delivered at the hospital. Our fingers and toes didn't grow as soon as we came out of the womb. No, all of that was happening inside of our moms. Regardless of if it was if you had a mom that loved you, regardless of the family situation that you came into, regardless of the economic situation you came into, regardless of all of that. I don't care if you're Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, President Trump, or the poorest person you've ever come in contact with. All of us started at the same place. That matters. And the work of the pro-life movement, the work of the pregnancy center movement, is making a difference. And I applaud you for that. We'll talk more next week. Thanks for listening.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just there. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there.